everybody turn with me in their Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. You're being passed out our second text that we're going to have in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read through this whole entire text. For you that need large print, I made it as large as I could. Everybody get you a copy of that. That is the Amplified of Colossians chapter 3. It's very, very good. I've been preaching through Psalm 119, and it is amazing what God is doing in our text and in my life. I was going to preach today on walking with God in the Word, but it hit me so much that I need to talk about our heart first, because without our heart in tune and in love with God, we lack the foundation to walk with God, to obey God, to meet our world. And I've been fighting that all this week. How do I live in my world? Do you know the hardest time I have is when I relax, or when I'm downtime, or me time. You ever had that? Me time, that's our world. I find that there's enough frustrations in life, and there's stress problems, health problems, there's financial problems, there's troubles, there's personal troubles, there's family troubles, marital problems. Just ask Ron Lee. And that's a joke. And but it is real. It is real. And how do I keep my mind? Are we told to keep our mind stayed upon Jehovah? We are to be permeated, and we have so many things. We have so much TV today, and we have so much activities today, and we just have so many choices today. And if we're not careful, we have all of these things that we have to do in our modern world, and all the stuff we have. Do you know all the stuff you have owns you instead of you owning it? If you have it, you got to take care of it. You got to feed it, and you got to polish it. You got to take care of it. You got to fix it. And if we're not careful, we'll walk through life, and just church is something you do on Sunday. Your Bible reading, if you're real diligent, you read it for 10, 15 minutes in the morning. That's it, and that's good. But God wanted to just to be in your thoughts and your minds and your heart all day. And everything you do. Today we have so much trivia, do we not? Things you do. We do things today that occupy our time that really have no value. They're just time wasters. Is that true? We have a lot of that. And we're all good at it. And, you know, to really spend our time with others. God wanted us to dominate our lives with us, with others, and God. He wanted us to just have our mind stayed upon Him and blessing others, the two commandments. And to do that, we are to bless our spouse, number one. Is that right? We are to bless God. We are to know God, walk with God, study God, enjoy God, obey God, fear God. We're to be in fellowship, relationship with Him. It's wonderful to have a relationship with Him. I had a man to call me this week that he was just weeping and everything went wrong. But he said, "Preacher," he said, "I saw God a lot this week. And God answered this prayer and this prayer. Even though I'm wore out physically and emotionally and stressed, God's with me." See, there's the key. I can't make all this other stuff go away. And if somebody does it to me, it's stressful. And people treating you poorly and all of this. And then physical and then financial and then our life. And if you're not careful, you'll just be overwhelmed with that. But no, God says in the midst of all of this stuff, I'm here, and I'm with you, and I want your heart to be with me, and your mind to be with me, and I want your time, and you realize your purpose, and you got to bless God, and then bless your spouse, then bless your children. Do our children need our time? Yeah, our attention and our push for godliness, our family, our friends, our colleagues, our co-workers. Should you take Jesus to work with you? Yeah. And here you have the flow of people, your schoolmates, your college mates, your students, and your friends, even strangers. I had a man to run through my yard last week. I wasn't too excited. Then I realized God made you to run through my yard. Maybe God wants me to talk to you. And I had a great talk with him. After I swallowed my pride and my frustrations, he messed up my grass. I could have let that bother me all day. Is that right? All day. He was out there going, bah! I said, that's going to make Ronald Lee work about 5 hours this summer. But I realized God made him to stop in my yard. And I get to talk with him. And he was amazed. Ron Lee showed him some kindness. He was amazed that we just showed him kindness. Nobody ever did that for me. He says, I'm going to come to your church. And I'm sitting there going, wow, don't run in my yard again. And we need to realize that we have so many ways of talking to people today. We have phones. We not only have phones on our walls and our houses. How many do not have a house phone right now? Raise your hand. Do not. How many has a house phone? Still has a house phone? Well, good. That's wonderful. You're paying double. Okay. But we have phones. We can text. I texted my two boys this morning and my brother, and I told him I was praying for them, and God show up today at church. And Tim texts me back and says, yeah. Isn't that cool? We have Facebook. Now, I'm not much of a Facebooker, but Facebook can be terrible. But Facebook can be great. Can you bless people on Facebook? Can you encourage people on Facebook? Can you share Bible verses? Can you share preaching little clips? Can you share funny things? Can you encourage people? Yeah, you can do all of that. We have so many ways of communicating today. So many. Use the ones you have. And we can bless people. We're to bless God, and we're to bless people. Is that right? That's what. Do you know if I spend my day doing that, I don't have any problems. I only get in trouble when I start thinking about me. Psalm 119, verses 97 to verse 112, I think it is. Come and read it for us, Martin. Come and read it for us. If you have a blessing from these 16 verses, I'd like to hear it right after he reads them.
Good morning. Thank my daughter Madeline for giving me the New King James Version to read from, so it'll be a little closer to what we're used to here. Will you please rise if you are able? And in your pew Bible, it will be page 477. The words of the psalmist starting in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Thank you. You may be seated.
You may be seated.
If you've been reading this week and you have a word, a verse that blesses you and you just have to share it, please do that at this time. If you've been reading these 16 verses in Psalm 119 and you have a blessing, I'd like to hear from you. Anybody? Yes, Phil.
I enjoy verse 111. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. That's the writer. And that's the reason that Psalm 119 is so long. 176 verses of the way that his heart rejoices. God has given him, as we sang that song, ancient words.
Yep.
Words of instruction. And we pass those words down to our children.
Amen.
And they then should pass them down to their children. And it's the reason, one of the reasons, why we still have it.
Amen. They are life. Amen. Verse 111. Yes, sir. Jim.
I see a mirror picture in verse 101. Looking back at verse 11, in verse 11 he said, I hid my word, your word in my heart, so that I won't sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at 101. I restrain my feet from evil when I keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like one is feeding on the other.
Yep.
It's an encouragement.
Amen. Joel.
Verse 98, the little phrase, for they are ever mine, or they are ever with me.
Mm.
That means that kind of keeping off of what's been said, but it's part of the author's character.
Yeah.
You can't pry it out of me.
Ooh.
It's made a part of it.
It's who I am. Yes.
I like to think of the first a year to think about, meditate on, and memorize. 97 is the verse that I chose for this. And that's my desire, that I will meditate on this verse all day.
All day. You mean all day? Wow. Do you mean during football games? Oh, there was another hand. Yes.
I like the verse 97.
Amen. After she came to the Lord, she learned how to love His Word. Amen. Amen. Any others? I want you to know this side is beating y'all badly. Any others? Any others? Yes?
I have a note next to 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Even unto
the end. My note says, finish strong.
Finish strong. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Any others? The more y'all talk, the less I talk.
Verse 102, where it says, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. That's one level to read it.
Amen.
To say it, but it's another level to learn from God Himself.
Amen. He will do that. He will do that. Did you have your land?
It's amazing. We've written about 3,000 years ago. It's not really relevant to us.
Man, written 3,000 years ago, still relevant today. Amen. 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 Yes, Rick.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, verse 105, and a light unto my path. There is no darkness with our Lord.
Mm.
It is light in this world.
Amen. Truth. And it got in his heart. Is that right? And he thought about it all day long. And it was his whole being was what motivated him. It was what his mind dwelt upon. It was his affections. It was his joy. To love it. Verse 97, let's all look at it. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. You know, what else? We love a lot of things. I love some things. And I have to watch it that my love for things and certain stuff. Are we very spoiled in America today? Man, we have so much. Kids, you know, I wanted that. I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. I just have a couple words for you. Get a life. You know, we have so much and we don't, we're bored. And we should just love. But he's told us we have the Word of God. And if we read it, he'll talk to us. He'll teach us. He'll come alive in our lives. And it'll be joy. He says, oh, how I love thy law. Verse 127. I'm jumping around. 127, it says, therefore love thy law above gold and above fine gold. Do you really love God's word more than money? Huh? That's a big statement. Is our culture built on money? It's everything. Now, there's no great blessing of being poor, okay? But we are not to love it. Is that right? We're to use it, to give it, to bless people, to bless our family and bless other families, bless God, bless missionaries. Is that right? And but to love God more than gold. Now, that's a big statement. You know, I don't have any gold. I have some fool's gold, okay? But to love God more than the greatest value on the earth is gold. And a big statement. Verse 103, another statement. I can identify this one more. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I don't have any gold, but I got some honey. And it's really good. Somebody gave us some honey for Christmas. I don't know where it came from, but it is really good. And I'm not going to share it with you. It is really good. We had some rolls, and Ron Lee said, that's your fifth one. I said, yeah, no, it's good, isn't it? Honey, it says, it's God's word is more important than candy and brownies and honey. And now, to all you kids, that's really important. That's more important than gold, because you can't. What do you do with gold? I don't know. I don't have any. But honey, you know, food, you know, to love it. Verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, my treasure, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. They're my heart's delight. That is just a high statement. 99, it says, thy testimonies are my meditation. I think about what you give all the time. I just dwell upon it in the morning, and I think about it all day, and I read it again at night. Can you think about God's word through the night season? Huh? Does your mind click at nighttime and think about truth? Mine does. Starts about 4 o'clock, starts thinking. And I'm sitting there going, oh man, that's wonderful. To think of a truth, and you're about half asleep, huh? And it just blesses you. And you just realize, wow, the rejoicing of my heart and the meditation. I think about it. 97, very similar. It says, it is my meditation all day long I think about it. It is to consume us. If the words of Christ would just consume us, it would be wonderful. All days. And then 98, some of you already said this. Thy commandments, for they are ever with me. They're my constant guide. They're my conscience when I'm faced with a decision. The Word of God tells me what to do. What should I do? Well, God's Word says this. Okay, I'll do it. God's Word says, don't do this. Well, I won't do that. It's just constant with me. I hide it in my heart, and then it talks to me and my conscience all through the today in choices of getting mad or not getting mad, speaking to this person, helping this person. My conscience talks to me because my Bible has been training my conscience. Verse 120, it says, "Thy flesh trembleth." My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, of God. I am afraid of thy judgments. I was going to put the next verses up on the fear of God. I'm not going to take time to read these, but these are great verses. You can just look at them. I'll talk a little bit. The fear of God is something that makes us love Him. We fear His judgment. Do you realize one day we're going to give an account? You know, I was in college and we'd have test days and I was scared to death. I was hoping He would make them easy. And there's going to be an account of our lives. And teenagers and children and adults, we need to realize that we're going to give an account of today. We're going to give an account of tomorrow. And we should that should scare us straight. Scare us to do right. Is that right? I can't do that. You know. Come on, you can lie this one time. Oh, you don't know my God. He loves me too much, and I'm going to give an account. He knows. And wow. And put the next verses up on fear of God. These are great verses, especially the New Testament there, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, what? In the fear of God. Why do we do that? Because God's God. And He means what He says. And He loves me. And if I would do what's right, I'll be blessed. And if I do what's wrong, I'll be cursed. I'm going to do what's right. And the fear of God, we need a great dose of that in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts, because that just helps us think right. Psalm 104, it says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." I get discernment of truth, of good and evil. It helps me in my choices of good and evil. "Therefore I hate every false way." Huh? Your heart, you're getting it in your thinking. You're getting it in your mind. You're getting it in your motives and your affections. And you love that which is right and you start to hate that which is wrong. Can you be in the middle of the road of love and hate of right and wrong? No. It's right or it's wrong. And if it's wrong, Mom, that's not that bad. It's either right or it's wrong. And, everybody else is doing it. It's either right or wrong. I don't care if everybody's doing it. That's not right. Is it right or wrong? Are those words in that song right or wrong? Tell me. Well, there's a couple wrong. You know. Is this movie, it only has a couple. And I wish they'd leap them all out. You know, this book, it's not that bad of a book. We hate what's wrong. Verse 128. "Therefore esteem all the precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." That's how you keep your mind right. That's how you keep your heart right. That's how you keep your motives right. You love what is right, and you abhor what is wrong. 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my" what? "Feet." Now, in our day, we put the big high beams up and we can see. In those days when you walked, what could you only see? One step at a time. There was, "Thy word is a lamp," a little lantern, and you walk with it. You definitely didn't run in the dark because you couldn't see. "And then it is a light to my path." Aren't you glad there are street lights and there would be lights of the city or lights of fires from different places in those days where they could see, a little bit more. But most of it is one step at a time, not a lot ahead. We only see one step at a time and we follow God. And we just say, "God, I'm going to keep my mind on you." Let's go to our paper that we have. Everybody has this paper. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. I have about 10 minutes. I want to read it. This is the greatest text. I want you to go home and read this. This is in the Amplified. The Amplified is hard to read because he just adds so many words to describe. Usually the words that are in your Strong's Concordance on a different word in the Bible. He just adds a bunch of them so you will kind of give you a fuller picture of it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, if, now note that means since, it's not that it's questioning it, it's since you already have it, you have been raised with Christ, you're saved, to a new life, sharing His resurrection from the dead, you're a saved person, you're a believer, keep seeking. Isn't that a great? If you notice, I put my words in red. Those are the words I'm going to pound on, okay? It says, keep seeking the things that are above. That's what I got to do all the time. It's so hard because my flesh loves stuff down here. Is that right? I love it. And if I'm not careful, my pride will get in the way. My jealousy will get in the way. Somebody's taking advantage will get in the way. And I'm got my mind down here. He wanted us to get our minds up to righteousness and godliness and truth. And yes, this life's going to fall apart. And we're going to have financial woes. And we're going to have health woes. But He's with you. And He says, hey, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Here's the key verse. Set your mind, your affection, set it. And then it describes setting. Keep focused habitually on the things above. Are we to think about God all day long? We are. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and this frustrates me, and this is a problem in my life, and this person treated me bad, and this didn't go right, and why don't you handle all of those problems with Jesus with you? Just take Him with you. Just like the guy driving through my grass. I could have just been thinking about the grass, but I started thinking about His soul. Is that different? Now, it doesn't help my grass. My grass, if you drive by my grass, I got a big hole in my front yard. Reminds me every day, and I go, rah, 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 rah. Then I say, oh, I got to witness this guy. Either it's going to remind me of something earthly, or it's going to remind me of something heavenly, and when I fix it next summer, I'm going to pray for that guy. And because God made him stop in my yard. Is that right? And nobody ever might talk to him again about God, but God had him to stop in my yard. And it says, set it, and keep focused habitually on things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, that which is only temporal, of temporary value. For you died to this life. You're not to live this way anymore. You don't have to sin anymore. You can walk with Him. You don't have to do it. You're not dominated anymore. You have died since you got saved to this world, and your new and real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears at the rapture, then you will appear with Him in glory. You're going to heaven, folks. Then it says, so, because of this truth that you're going to heaven and you're in Christ, it says, so put to death and deprive of the powers, the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual and self-centered instincts. Is that true? Don't you hate your flesh? I just hate my flesh. I'll have hateful thoughts. I'll have jealous thoughts flow through my head. I'll have proud thoughts, just lustful thoughts. And where'd they come from? Huh? You have them? Do you have them? Anybody not have them? Okay, you know, I have these things and I'm sitting there going, why does God allow this? So I will look up to Him and say, help me. And if I'm not in need, if I'm not weak, I'll never experience His strength and His help. And He wants us not only to save us, He wants to walk with us all day long. So I'm falling all over the place all day long, and He's picking me up. And I'm saying, oh, wow, that was neat. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. you know, that's the whole day. I can realize that he's with me. And my sins, verse 5, it says, this is the flesh here. Immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desires, greed, which is a kind of idolatry. Catch what idolatry is. Greed is idolatry. Materialism, idolatry. Because it replaces your devotion to God. That's idolatry. It becomes between you and God, anything. And because, verse 6, because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and who routinely obstinately, that's just persistently, stubbornly, disregards God's principles. Verse 7, and in these sinful things, you also once walked. You were unsaved one time when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved? And you weren't, you used to live this way. I love verse 8. But now, you're not in the old life, you're in the new life. Now, you don't have to sin all the time. Now, get rid of it now. Declare war, fight. Now, get rid yourself completely of all these things. Here's a bunch of them. Anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self who is being continually renewed. I love that. It's growing. It's you know, I got saved way long ago, but I want you to know God's better today than he was yesterday, huh? And it's growing. I hope you experience growth. I used to have a problem with that one, and I don't have a problem with those anymore. Now I have a problem with this one, and this one. I'm working on those. It says, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new self, new spiritual self, and being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, nor between nations, whether barbarian or Scythian, nor in status, whether free or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all, so believers are equal in Christ without distinction. So, I love these. So, according to all this stuff, as God's own chosen people, us, you, me, who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well beloved by God himself, since you're a saved person, put on a heart of compassion. Here's the heart. God, give me the right heart. Give me the right mind. Give me the right thinking, the right attitude. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice. There's the problems of the world. And unpleasantness comes with good temper. You don't have to respond badly. You can respond with God's grace. Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other as if one has cause of complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love. Isn't that good? Which is the bond, the glue of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement with each one seeks the best of the other. That's how the church should work. Verse 15, let a choice. I'm going to do this. Let the peace of Christ, the inner, here's a description of peace, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him. Isn't that great? Be the controlling factor of your hearts, deciding and settling questions that rise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be ye thankful to God always. Let the words, here's the best verse, let the words Let the spoken word of Christ have its home, his residence within you, dwelling in your heart and mind. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I love this phrase in the red. Permeating every aspect of your being. Huh? That's just powerful to see all that God is doing, and you realize it's permeating every part of your being. I want you to read the rest of it when you get home. I want you to know that we have to have hearts for God and to love Him, as Psalm 119 says, and to love Him more than honey or gold, and to have Him as your treasure, your delight, your meditation all through the day to the end, to fear Him, to hate what is evil, and then to take His lamp with you as you walk each step, and to realize, I'm going to set my affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I'm going to think on these things. I'm not going to think on those things. I'm going to have my mind on God. When troubles come, frustrations arise, and all these trivia things pop into my life, I'm going to start thinking more on God's stuff. I'm going to take God to school with me. I'm going to take God to work with me. I'm going to take God to sporting events with me. I'm just going to just be a person that keeps my mind and my heart glued on Him. Huh? That is so wonderful to realize that, God, You can do this with me. And our Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, you know, set your mind and keep focused habitually on things above, the heavenly things, not on things on the earth, which are only temporal value. The song we're going to sing again, put it up. This song Patrick introduced today. You can't get it out of your head. You'll be humming it this afternoon. You'll be singing it tomorrow. You won't remember all the words, but you'll be humming it. You'll get the chorus there. It just, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world where we're to roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen? The devil wants you to be a mess. The devil has all of our world just pounding us. Is that right? We're being pushed by everything. All of media, all of written pages, magazines, all of music. And we need to realize, I need to keep my mind on God. And if this can, you know, there's times for self and downtime. Don't get me wrong. But I'm finding if I let myself be in downtime too much, my mind starts down here. Is that right? And if my mind starts down here and thinking about all this stuff, and I realize, oh, I'm supposed to be thinking about God. I'm supposed to be loving God and loving my neighbor. Is that right? And God help me. And I'm supposed to do it at work. I'm supposed to do it at play. I'm supposed to do it at school. I'm supposed to do it all the time. Keep your mind in the book. Read it every day and then chew on it all through the day and apply it, and you'll see God. I want to see God show up somehow today. Is that right? Today and tomorrow. I don't know what He's going to do. Sometimes I don't see it, but I know He's there. That's what helps me and keeps me strong. And I'm trying hard and my flesh is weak. And then when I say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Isn't it great?